afternoon, listeners. This is Vic once again with Catholic Opinion. I'd like to welcome all our listeners, those in Auckland, the surrounding regions, those who ever hear the program, all those on the internet, those whose English is not their first language. We sympathise with you today, listeners, because old Vic talks too fast, yes. His English is far too speedy, listeners, I admit it. But today I'm talking about St. Peter. And what St. Peter had to say. Yes, like myself, Peter had a lot of problems, listeners. He was too excitable, yes, like me. He was a bit of a braggart, like me. Yes, he had all these faults that I've carefully developed. Peter had them naturally. I've had to develop them. Yes, so, listeners. And but Peter, he was a great saint, listeners. Of all the people that Jesus Christ, he picked to lead his church. He didn't go to universities, listeners, and pick the yes, all the great brains and everything, as you think he would have. You think he might pick a great hero, brains, and maybe a great football player, whatever. But no, he picked the humble fisherman to be his leader. Bit of a braggart, bad-tempered a little bit, listeners. He is strong physically. Yeah. But, listeners, he was acquainted with danger. Yes, all of the apostles were brave men, listeners. They used to go out in that lake and they never used to know when they were coming back, son. Yeah, because the wind blew up in the lake suddenly, like it does on Lake Taupo, and you are finished. So they were brave men, listeners. And not only that, they were quite financial, listeners. Like my parents came from Croatia, and they're very similar. Yes, they had their plots of land, and they had their sheep, and they had their wine, and they grew their own food, they lived healthy lifestyles. What we're trying to emulate now in our modern day, you know, running and walking and eating well and having this and eating that. All our ancestors, they ate that naturally. They had, yes, and there was no canned food, there's nothing there stuffed away into cans. And we eat a lot of this food now, but now we're trying to eat better, like our ancestor did, like Peter did, listeners. Yes, he would have his own little wee flock of sheep. He'd have his own big garden, listeners. Like my mother had a big garden all our lives in Ara. Yes, and we ate good food, listeners, as Peter would. And yes, and he had a big bunch of mates. Like I remember when I went to Croatia, I was very impressed how all the guys stuck together. Yes, they put their arms around each other's shoulders and they went for a drink together and they sang and they were good buddies, listeners. Just like the Galileans would have been, good buddies. And when they went to Jerusalem, which is a sophisticated city, they'd be regarded as old cockies. Hey, look at them, those gorillas. They talk like monkeys. Yeah, look at them, hey. But no, but they're the ones that Jesus Christ picked to start his church, listeners. And I think a lot of it was of their bravery. And Peter, listeners, yes, he was a priest. And he was a bishop, yes. Listeners, Peter was the Pope. Not a Pope, the Pope. And for 25 years, he was the bishop of the most sophisticated city in the world. He was the bishop of Rome itself. Yeah, almost on a par with the emperor. And the emperor bumped him off, listeners. The same day, after the year, in the year 67 AD, Nero had Peter and Paul killed. Yes, and it wasn't a massacre throughout the world of Christians, and they turned out to be in a few years later. But Nero, most of his persecution was just in Rome itself. And he bumped off the two great apostles, Peter and Paul. Paul, because he was a Roman citizen, he didn't have to go to the indignity of being crucified. They just lopped off his head. It was quite a simple process. Sword, head, bang, finished. Peter, a little bit different. He was to be crucified. He was a leader. He had to be made a public sign that they could see that he was a baddie, and they crucified him. And he says, "Hey, fellas, I'm not worthy to be crucified. In the same matter of my master, my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. How about you crucify me upside down?" And they said, "Sure thing, Peter, we'll do that. No trouble, eh?" So they tipped him upside down and crucified him upside down. So that's how Peter died, upside down on a cross, Rome. And there, where he died, in that cemetery where they buried him, they later built a massive cathedral that lasted for 1,300 years. What they called it? Yes, they did. They called it St. Peter's, listeners. That was there for 1,300 years, and then for the last 500, they built the present-day St. Peter's. So ever since Peter, there's only been two massive basilicas on that very spot where he died and where he's buried. And it's in Rome. I've been there, listeners. You can't believe it's so magnificent, it's so huge. It's in honour of St. Peter. And he's loved by the people of Rome, listeners. They've got a brass statue there of St. Peter in the basilica. And the people have kissed the foot there of the brass foot of the statue, and the foot has worn away with the kisses of the people over the centuries, listeners. So yes, he's respected and loved there. And as I said, he was a pope and a bishop and a priest and an apostle, and listeners, he was a martyr, as we've already said. And but besides that, he was a great bishop, a great leader. As soon as the church was formed by Jesus Christ, and he rose into heaven, and he said, "You pray, guys, for 9 days, and I'll send the Holy Ghost." So I'll tell you the story in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, when Peter gives his first sermon. And this is just after the Catholic Church started, with Peter and the 11 apostles. Judas had committed suicide, so they had to replace him in chapter 1, so they replaced him. And then it says, "And when the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them." Parted tongues of fire, listeners. The Holy Ghost. "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with diverse tongues, according to the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation in the world." For listeners, that was what we would call just after Easter, and all the Jews were there for the great feasts, and they come from the whole world. And when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded in mind, because every man heard the apostles speaking in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how is it we've heard every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, the inhabitants of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, all the parts of Libya, round about Cyrene, that's all North Africa, and strangers of Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Grecians and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own language the wonderful works of God." And they were all astonished and wondered, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" But others, mocking, said, "These men have had their full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke to them. This is a fisherman, listeners. And Peter got up in front of these thousands of people and spoke and said, "You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you, and with your ears receive my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it's but 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, Joel says, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants indeed, and upon my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour and the smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and manifest day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of by God himself, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you already know. this same being delivered up by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. You, by the hands of wicked men, you have crucified him and slain him. It is Jesus Christ himself, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the sorrows of hell, as it was impossible that he should be holden by it. For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord before my face, because he is at my right hand, and I may not be moved. For this my heart had been glad, and my tongue hath rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh also shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Ye men, brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, said Peter, that he died and was buried, and his sepulchre is with us still to this present day. Whereas, therefore, he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath that of the fruit of his loins one would sit upon his throne in Jerusalem. Foreseeing this, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. For neither was he left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. That Jesus hath God raised again, whereof all we are witness, being exalted therefore by the right hand of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath poured forth that which you see and hear. For David ascended not into heaven, but he himself said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, most certainly, that God hath made both Lord and Christ, the same Jesus of Nazareth, whom we have crucified. Now, when they had heard these things, they had compunction in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, What shall we do, men and brethren? But Peter said to them, Do penance, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, whomsoever the Lord our God shall call. And with very many other words did Peter testify and exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this perverse generation. They therefore that received his word were baptized, and there were added in that day about 3,000 souls. Yes, that's the day that the Roman Catholic Church started, and 3,000 people joined it straight away and were baptized from the preaching of St. Peter that day. Peter the fisherman, Peter the little one, yes, Peter the farmer, Peter the shepherd, yes, he that could do with his hands and lay stones and he can build houses. That's what Peter did that day. He converted 3,000 people. And they were persevering in the doctrine of the apostles and in the communication of the breaking of the bread and prayers. That's how Mass listeners. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders also and signs were done by the apostles in Jerusalem. And there was great fear in all. And all they that believed were together and had all things in common. They possessed and goods they sold were divided amongst them all according to everyone his need. And continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they took their meat with gladness and with simplicity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord increased daily together such as would be saved. So soon there's 5,000 listeners, and then there's 10,000 kept before from that day with Peter and the apostles teaching him. And then, so we see listed there in Acts chapter 3 there, Acts chapter 10, Acts of the Apostles, we see how Peter converted Cornelius, a Gentile, and how the Gentiles started coming into the Catholic Church, because originally only the Jewish people came into the church. Chapter 15 of the Acts of the Apostles was all about circumcision, and then from then on, people did not have to be circumcised. They did not have to become Jews before they became Catholics. No, they could be baptized straight into the Catholic Church. And we think of the great words that Jesus Christ said to Peter when he reigned. And the day that Jesus Christ rose to heaven and made his last will and testament, he said to his apostles, "All power is given to me on heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, and you must teach them all the things that I command you. And behold, I am with you all days at the end of the world, and the gates of hell will never ever win against you." What amazing words Jesus Christ said to his church. He said all power was his, both in heaven and earth. Yes, he made the universe, listeners. He probably made many universes. And he said all power was his, and he gives that power to his church to go out and to teach all nations. Do you belong to a nation, listeners? Yes, you belong. Yeah, Jesus Christ is after you, listeners. He wants you to become one of his members. All nations. And you must teach them, he said to his church, all the things I've commanded you. Not some of the things, not the pleasant things. Everything I've commanded you, that's what you must teach the world. Yeah, no murder, listeners. Faithfulness in marriage. All the things. You must honour and love your neighbour. Must honour and love God. Keep holy the Sabbath day. All the things that Jesus Christ taught his apostles. The church must go to the world and teach them. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the end of the world. So the church is going to be there, listeners, forever. As it is there after many years, the Catholic Church is still there, still strong, still have its problems, listeners, and had its problems in the first days. But nevertheless, to the end of the world, the great Antichrist is coming, he'll devour it. It looks like it's disappeared, but nevertheless, the church will still be there, listeners. All power to the end of the world. And behold, I'm with you all days at the end of the world. And the gates of hell, the devil himself, will not prevail against you. The church will always beat the devil. And the devil is just so powerful, you'd think they would not be. So, listeners, we also turn to chapter 1 and chapter 2 of St. Peter's letter. It's because St. Peter, he wrote letters, two letters he wrote to the world. And the first is St. Peter the Apostle, the first epistle. And he says in that, the first chapter, "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as gold or silver, from your vain conversation of the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ you are redeemed, as of a lamb, unspotted and undefiled. For no one indeed," because in the Old Testament was told us this 458 times, "for no one indeed before the foundation of the world, but manifested these last times, who through him are faithful in God, who raised him up from the dead, and hath given him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, purifying your soul in the obedience of charity, with a brotherly love, from a sincere heart, love one another earnestly. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, who liveth and remaineth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory thereof is a flower of grass. The grass is withered, and the flower thereof is fallen away. But the word of the Lord it endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel has been preached unto you." Another part in chapter 2. "To you therefore," said Peter, "that believe, his honour. But to them that believe not, the stone which the builders rejected is the same as made the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of scandal to them who stumble at the word. Neither do believe, whereunto also they are sent. But you are a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood," yes, a royal priesthood you are, "a holy nation, a purchased people by the blood of Christ. But you may declare his virtues, who hath called you out of darkness into a marvellous light. who in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, said Peter, as strangers and pilgrims, to refrain yourself from carnal desires, which war against the soul, having your conversation good amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by the good works which they shall behold in you, glorify God on the day of visitation. Be ye subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether it be to the king as excelling, or to governors as sent by him. For so is the will of God, that by doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. And then the next chapter, chapter 3, listen, chapter 4, he tells us, but with modesty and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, they may be shamed who falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it's better doing well, if such is the will of God, to suffer than to do evil. Because Christ also died once for our sins, the just for the unjust, but he might offer us to God, being put to death indeed in the flesh, and enlightened in the spirit. There's in chapter 5 there, in like manner, ye young men, be subject to the ancients, and do you all insinuate humility one to another. For God resisted the proud, but to the humble he giveth grace. Be you humble, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of his visitation. And in the second letter of the apostle, if you could read it sometime, listeners, I can just read a little part of it. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with heat, and the earth and the works which are in it shall be burnt up. Yes, in this little portion of the scriptures, listeners, Peter's telling us about the end of the world, how the world ends by fire, listeners. We hope it looks like that many people will be saved from this, people who are trying to be good. Seeing then that all these things are to be dissolved, what manner of people ought you to be in the holy conversation and in godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, by which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the burning heat. But we look for new heavens and a new earth, according to this promise which justice dwelleth. Wherefore, dearly beloved, waiting for these things, be diligent that you may be found before him unspotted and blameless in peace. And account that long-suffering of our Lord salvation, as also our most dearly beloved Saint Paul, according to the wisdom given to him by God, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are certain things hard to understand, which the unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also with other scriptures of their own destruction. You therefore, brethren, knowing these things, before you take heed, lest being led aside by the error of the unwise, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and unto the day for eternity. Yes, St. Paul, St. Peter, as Pope, is a warning that the scriptures are not to be interpreted by everybody. It's the job of the church to interpret the scriptures. And many Protestant peoples make this great error by interpreting and forming new religions based on the scriptures, where St. Peter here is warning you, do not do that. The church's job, the church gave the scriptures, it's church's job to teach the scriptures. So we see, listeners, that Peter was the first pope. He was dignified and holy and wise and finished brave. And he went to his destiny always under the shadow of the cross by which he would be crucified. Peter is now loved and honoured, a great saint, the first pope, great first bishop of Rome. He's the first. There have been 266 popes, listeners, over the centuries, and he was the first and the great one. He ruled over the greatest institution ever to be had in the world. The Catholic Church is the biggest institution in the world, listeners. 1.3 billion people in the Catholic Church honour Peter, and there are 2 billion totally Christians in the world, listeners, the biggest religion in the world. He was the first Pope of our church, brave and humble. He is friend of Jesus Christ, friend of Our Lady, friend of St. John and James, friend of the Apostles, but not Judas. They say, listeners, that he had a fight with Judas the week before Judas committed suicide. Because Judas was a real scoundrel and Peter couldn't stomach him. He was quite tempered. So he thumped him, listeners. Yeah, and you can see that happening because he was a human being, listeners. And we must try not to thump people. But nevertheless, he defended the honor of Jesus Christ, who Judas betrayed. He said, Peter died by the sword. Yeah, remember the 600 people came to arrest Jesus, listeners. And Peter, they had two swords. And Peter out with a sword and he thumped the first guy that comes up and chopped off his ear, listeners. But Jesus bent over, picked the ear up and put it back on Malthus. Yes, and he said, Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. So here was Peter willing to fight and die for Jesus, but he wasn't allowed to. So listeners, that was tough for Peter because he was a fighter and he would fight. He would fight the whole rest of the lot himself. But no, he wasn't allowed to. In the scriptures, he's mentioned 199 times, listeners. And all the other apostles put together were not mentioned that often as Peter was totally by himself. So yes, he's a great saint. He's the first pope, a bishop, a priest. He's an apostle and he was martyr, listeners. And here we have his writings here teaching us still today after 2,000 years, listeners. And his church is in Rome, where he's honoured. A massive cathedral, the biggest cathedral in the world, listeners. It is called St. Peter's. I don't know if you've been to Rome and seen it. It's very, very beautiful. Very, very splendid, listeners. And he was the great teacher for the church. I mean, he wasn't an intellectual, listeners. But when they become a pope and bishop and the apostles, they turned into great preachers and they were brave. They went to India, listeners, and they went to Syria, they went to all the nations of the world to take out the Catholic faith, and they paid the price. Because if a king had many wives, they would say to the king, hey, old king, you can't have many wives. And the king will say, we'll see about that, young fella, and they bumped his head off. So they all were martyr, listeners, but by bit the whole lot were killed, except St. John, who was actually martyr but did not die. So, Peter, great apostle, the foundation of the Catholic Church. And the apostles were Peter and John, and James and Peter's brother Andrew. There was Philip, Thomas, Matthew, who wrote the great gospel. There's St. Bartholomew, and James the second, and Simon and Jude, the cousin of our Lord. And there was the traitor Judas, who was replaced after the death of Jesus by Matthias, who replaced Judas and became the 12th apostle. Well, listeners, the music's finished. That means Vic has to go. So good afternoon, and God bless you. I hope to speak to you next week. This is Vic.